I'll stand tall, Porge. There's no...
This is a line of Indians leaving Rancho Malario to make room for you. Here's the beautiful Trail of Tears golf course.
This is Carolyn Presky. You've sold out. Now let's see just what you bought on this, your third day on Hawaiian Sellout. Bob, what's Miss Presky's heap so far?
Right, Jack. So far, a complete broken set of color bars for Mrs. B's new home. Some leveled mountain skis and water rollers for that fun-filled open season. An unattached Grid 5 stand-up reheater with a smoke window. And now...
300 full pounds of Chef Antoine's Southern Fried Glimpse, toasted to golden perfection, cubed, reheated, and returned to water before you're ready, Miss B. And the inside, well, look at that. It's just as lovely. Two shelves were none are needed. And look at that. Close the door and the light stays on. Well, how do you feel, Miss Presky?
Sick.
Oh, well, you can afford it now, love. But like the good book says, there are bigger deals to come.
Was that the line you took, Lieutenant?
I can't.
Oh, go ahead. You have to answer this one.
I can't remember.
Calm down, my boy. Our entire defense rests on you not...
Kindly instruct your client to stop acting, and you could take a couple of lessons in military toughness yourself.
Yes, sir.
Everything went black.
General, I must insist this man is in no condition to replay that.
Well, I can see that, Major. Will the recording sergeant read the scene back to him?
Yes, sir. Alvarado. Sir, what are we going to do, man? Matetsky, take it easy, Lieutenant. Tire biter, we're gonna go out there and cut. I can't say it. I'm sorry, but I zip beep.
Can you remember now, Lieutenant?
Surrogate General Klein, sir. When I signed my contract with you, I fully intended to fulfill its terms with honor, sir. But you never told me I had to go out there and kill anybody.
Lieutenant, I will not tolerate the use of prohibited language in this court-martial. The accursed will be advised of the absence of his rights under the secret code of military toughness and will act accordingly.
Oh, gee whiz, I'm sorry.
I suppose it's we parents should be sorry, Judge. We failed somewhere. We didn't raise this boy to use language like that.
Now, it's not our fault anymore, Mr. Prosecution. Call the next witness.
What do you think I ought to call him, Judge?
I don't know. We don't have a name for him. He never went to school.
Well, then, the people calls to the stand, you!
Don't point at me, Daddy. I'll cut off your finger.
No. You, the second man from the rear over there. You, the man with no shoes.
Who, me?
You!
Mudhead? Oh, golly,
you promise to covet property, propriety, plurality, surety, security, and not hurt the state? Say what?
What?
Take your stand.
Now then, Mr. Head.
Hi, Mr. Tirebiter. You know me.
Do you know the defendant?
I know Porgy.
And you spend all your free time with him?
Sure, except when he's in school.
So you don't go to school?
Heck no, I'm 30 years old.
But you were in school, weren't you? And with your friend Porgy.
No!
Last night.
Oh, you mean commie martyr.
Communist Martyrs High School, exactly.
Porgy had to find out where they were hiding more science, or he couldn't get out.
Or he couldn't get out. He admits it, he was trying to get out.
Isn't everybody?
Yes, to get out in times of declared emergency.
What emergency?
Well, there you are, Judge Pooh. Youth here doesn't seem to know about the disappearance of the old school.
But that's what Porgy was looking for!
If you don't answer the question, young man, we're going to have to gag you.
What question?
Gag him.
Who was that lady I saw you with last night?
Oh, that was no lady. That was Bottles.
Bottles?
I guess so. I'd drink anything. After that, I just couldn't seem to get off this dump. My whole career went up in smoke. There was no way I could follow the scenario written by the people who pay for your wheelchairs.
General.
Are you impugning, sir, that this uniform might be for sale? This uniform that bears the three stars that indicate my ratings? Bedecked with ribbons that represent every theater of war? Who wore it last in our proud company? This full-dress uniform, W-2565, seen in our finest hours, in ruthless combat, in dogfights over Broadway, and worn out, finally, here on this spot, in parallel hell. What is it worth? How much do I hear? I don't hear that.
$5.
I heard that. What do you think you're trying to do, Lieutenant? Buy your way out of these proceedings?
I am out, Klein. I don't like you. I don't want a part in what you're selling. And I'm walking out of your set.
You can't do that.
Watch me.
You'll never work in this town again, Tirebiter.
What town?
George, come back. Now, don't worry, Mr. Klein. Don't get mad. I'll bring him back. He's a good boy.
A good boy gone bad. You move when you're told not to move. You take off your shoes to evade the men who are trying to protect you. You sneak into a forbidden sector after curfew, and you are caught with your hands up something they don't belong. My, my, my! Your friends at Commie Martyrs must be mighty proud of you.
One from there.
You're right, Mudhead. And now there's no room for anybody because it's all filled up with more science.
Where'd they go?
Yeah, where did all the kids go?
Well, they're in Korea.
We saw.
What's that soldier doing in here? What do you mean by that?
What do you mean by that?
What do you mean by that?
I mean in Hobie.
This is no movie. This is real. The last reel of this vintage motion picture, High School Madness. Lot number M-25, black and white, 35 millimeter. Now, who started at $5? Let's go to 25. 25, 25, please. 25, bid now. 25, 30, now. 25, thank you, sir. Go to 50, go to half. Go to half. 37, thank you, sir. Go to 55, thank you very much, sir. 55, 60, 75. Let's go to 75, 75, 75. 100, first warning. $100, second warning. Third warning, fair warning.
How'd you get in here?
Sold for $100. Steel, the real jersey, easy 103. Here's another item, a lovely miniature executive in a brown tweed suit from a front room office.
So here's your last deal, Miss Kresge. Now which would you rather do? Hit this Jew over the head with a bag of sugar.
Or beat out that rhythm on the drum.
I'll take the bag.
You mean you're gonna drink this 4-foot cube of 18 karat Swiss bullion? And the snake knife, Mrs. Presky.
Yes.
All for that little bag.
Oh, yes, I want the bag.
Well, all right then, open it up.
Yes. Oh, why? Why, this is a bag of shit.
But it's really great shit, Mrs. Presky.
Don't spurt fire like the hosers. No, friends. This one won't take over the house like the high-speed vibrating clocks. So, friends, don't change.
More coffins, Warden? Then open up your cells and let go.
Ed aims to please, and so does Louise. So don't hide arms, get sidearms at Ames Guns. 30102 East Rhode Island School of Design Terrace in Ukaipa.
Thank you.
Hello?
Good morning, Mr. Tirebiter. This is your service. Time to wake up.
Oh, that's all right, my dear. I've been up all night watching myself on the TV.
Oh.
I don't suppose there'd be any messages for me this morning.
Just a moment. Yes, sir, there are some. A Mr. Sennett called.
Mr. Sennett?
And a Mr. Keaton, Babe Hardy, Stan Jefferson, Stan? And Mr. Dunkerfield, or Mr. Roach. Am I going too fast?
Mr. Roach? Oh, no, no, I'm remembering. I'm remembering them all. This is wonderful. Is there anyone else?
Well, there was Mr. Turpin, Mr. Fetchett. Oh, and a Mr. He wouldn't leave, is there?
Oh.
Just
a moment.
I have
to go get an ice cream cone. Hold on, I'll be right back.
Mr.
Hey, wait for me! Wait for me! Hey, mister! I got a nickel! Wait for me!
David Osman, Phil Austin, and Peter Bergman. And the name of this latest of their efforts is "Don't Crush That Dwarf, Hand Me the Pliers." And it's on Columbia. And I'll even tell you the number if you want to run and find it. C-301-02. And this is WBAI, listener-sponsored radio in New York City.
Everybody here ought to sing tonight. You don't have to sing. And if you're new here and you don't know the words, I would even rather that you didn't sing. But it's not one of those difficult songs. Quite simply, it goes, I don't want a pickle, just want to ride my motorcycle. And anything that rhymes after that is groovy, so you don't have too much to sweat tonight. We'll try it now. Four-part harmony. Here it is. I don't want a pickle. Because of that lack of enthusiasm, I'm gonna have to tell you about how I wrote the song. And maybe you'll get more enthusiastic about it. Maybe you won't. It was about the time that I was riding a motorcycle, going down a mountain road at 150 miles an hour, playing my guitar. On one side of the mountain road, there was a mountain. And on the other side, there was nothing. There was a cliff in the air. You know, when you're going down a mountain road at 150 miles an hour, you gotta be very careful. Especially if you're playing a guitar. Especially if that guitar is an acoustic guitar. Because if it's an acoustic guitar, the wind pressure is greater on the box side than on the neck side. Because there's more guitar on the box side. I wasn't paying attention. Luckily, I didn't go into the mountain. I went over the cliff. I was going at 150 miles an hour sideways and 500 feet down at the same time. I knew it was the end. I looked down. I said, wow, some trip. I thought it, I knew it was my last trip. And in my last remaining seconds in the world, I decided to write one last farewell song to the world. I put a new ink cartridge in my pen. Took out a piece of paper. I sat back and I thought a while. Then I started writing. I don't want a pickle. Just want to ride on a motorcycle. I don't want to tickle, I'd rather ride on my motorcycle. And I don't want to die, just want to ride my motorcycle. Well, I knew that it wasn't the best song I ever wrote. But I didn't have time to change it. I was coming down mighty fast. But as you all know, and as fate would have it, I didn't die. I landed on the top of a police car. And he died. I drove away on the road that he was on. I came into town at a screaming 175 miles an hour, playing the motorcycle song. I came into town and jumped off my bike. The bike went around the corner by itself, went up on the stand by itself, turned itself off. I walked over to my friend. He was standing there, eating pickles. I said, hi, what's happening? He looked at me in the eye and said, nothing. You gotta sing it with that kind of enthusiasm. Like you just squashed a cop.
Saturday night, August 29th, 1970, a group of some 200 or 300 young homosexual men and women gathered on the corner of 8th Avenue and 42nd Street. Their purpose was to demonstrate and protest against the arrest of other homosexuals during the previous 2 weeks. According to a leaflet that they handed out, the police have been harassing gay people on 42nd Street for the past few weeks. Hundreds have been arrested and held overnight in an attempt to clean up the streets, as they do for each election. The Central Park Rambles and other gay areas have also been raided. Gay people are forced to meet on the streets, in oppressive bars, and in the bushes by this repressive culture. Now the police are driving us from even this way of meeting each other. The night previous, Friday night, two things happened that were of concern to homosexuals. The first was that homosexuals were locked out of New York University's Weinstein Hall because the administration didn't want a homosexual group holding a dance there. That same night, three young homosexuals were attacked by a group of 25 straight guys and beaten severely, sending two of them to the hospital. That happened in Sheridan Square.
I heard you telling some other people that you had been harassed by the police on the street.
Yes, I have many a times, but still in all that does not give me a reason to go up to their face and call them pigs and so forth and so on. I have respect for them. Because after all, they do give me my protection whenever I need it.
Where have you been that they have...
Times Square area, the village, all around.
And have you found that if you were in trouble, they would protect you?
Yes, as long as they didn't know what I was.
Are you drag queen?
I used to be a female impersonator, yes, at one time.
Did you have more trouble then than you do now?
In some ways.
How do you mean?
Well, I would be carrying myself like what I was dressed as, and they would come up to me, and in front of a whole group of people, they would like say, "Hey, mister," you know, and stuff like this, which really isn't necessary. You know, because I mean, if I'm minding my own business, why can't they mind theirs? They're out here harassing homosexuals and so forth and so on, while meanwhile someone is robbing.